Spirit Radio Podcasts.
And it's time now to have a chat, our weekly chat, with our parenting expert, Katrina Lynch. Have you had a birthday party recently for your child, or have you been to a birthday party recently where you've just thought, oh my goodness, this is so over the top, or you felt the pressure because there's so much happening, I don't know, big bouncy castles or whatever, that you have to kind of keep up? Are we complicating it too much, and how can we kind of bring it back to just fun, happy day, and but while not going over the top? And that's what we're talking about today, is birthday parties, of which my next guest has thrown many.
Indeed.
I was actually thinking, I wonder how many you've thrown over the years when you actually multiply them all.
Well, I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to go there.
Let's just say you have adequate experience of this, Katrina. Do you think birthday parties, when you think now back to say
1940.
When you think back to maybe your first child's birthday parties, you know, has it changed a lot in the intervening years, do you think?
Enormously, out of all proportion. And I suppose, okay, we have to move on with the times and everything. We don't want to be going back to First World War birthday parties. But the expense that is involved in birthday parties is absolutely ridiculous, I think. And there always seems to be extra little things being added on that become the norm. I mean, this will tell you how long I'm going back. When I started running birthday parties for my first four-year-old, there were no such thing as party bags. Now they are...
I remember those. So the little goodie bags you took home with you that had sugary, naughty sweets and things in it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and again, it's another bit of expense and it's another thing put on, and you have to buy the bags and you have to buy the little
And then it becomes
toys.
A, oh, in such and such's party bag there was this, that and the other.
Yeah, and you know, we are our own worst enemies when it comes to this, because we have a fear of being judged and being thought mean, and we have a fear of what we do differently being seen as not willing to spend the money.
So is a lot of this, when we really think about it, rather than it being about the child, it's actually we're almost competing with other parents.
Absolutely. And your child is the one who will push the buttons, because they may say, if you are trying to backpedal a bit and have something a little bit cheaper or different, they will be saying, oh, well, Rory, we all went to the local leisure centre and we bounced on castles and we played in the ball pool and all that sort of stuff. My argument, for want of a better word, at this stage is, you can be the new retro and do it differently. Everybody goes to the local leisure centre. Everybody plays on the bouncing castle and all that sort of stuff.
Do you think, Katrina, there's probably more pressure now as well? Because, I mean, I've seen friends on social media putting up photos of really elaborate birthday parties. I mean, for 1 and 2 year olds who haven't got a clue what's going on. I'm sure it's all very exciting having people around and everything. But I mean, the full works, as in the cake that the child probably isn't going to eat, the balloons, and biting presents from expected from other people. And you can't help but wonder, is a lot of this for show? Because we put the pictures up online. Look at my wonderful life and this wonderful party I've thrown for my barely able to understand what's happening toddler.
Yeah, well, sometimes I feel that maybe, not all, but maybe some parents have fallen into the trap of looking on their little child almost as an addition, you know, their trophy, you know, to show off. Now, I'm not saying that people are thinking this.
It's kind of a subconscious pressure
we
put on ourselves.
Exactly, and I sure did it. I certainly did it. Anyway, what I am suggesting is that you have the courage, maybe, to change things. I was nearly going to suggest that you might agree with a couple of friends that this is what you're going to do.
But I
had a sad experience in that I pushed out the boat and I did something different, and then the others kind of felt they couldn't do it. Sorry, I interrupted you.
I had an interesting conversation with a friend recently whose little girl is starting in primary school. And basically it was becoming an issue that, you know, the class is so big and that every other week there was a birthday party to go to. and not just finding the time, but the money and all that sort of stuff. So what they decided was they were going to group birthday parties, and they would have a few of the children whose birthdays were kind of close-ish in the same month or whatever, and do it all together and just keep it simple. But you need somebody who's going to have courage and suggest this idea, or say and mean it, do not bring presents, for example.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, should you expect people to be bringing presents for a 4 and 5 year old's birthday party?
Well, this is the problem. You have to have, if you're going to do something like that, you have to have agreement from other friends, because then your child could end up being the only one who doesn't get a present, and they're very, very hurt. But let's just say you're the one who's trying to make things different. But I will go back to the word retro. You know, I am convinced, now maybe I will be sadly disappointed, and please, if you would call into the station and let us know what's happening, it would be great fun to find out how things are going for you. Obviously, when I started, it was the thing that you invited X number of friends. You did not invite the whole blooming class. You invited 6 or 7 or 10 friends, and they came to your house. Horror of horrors.
That's my memory
and
of my last birthday party.
They
for sure.
played games like Pass the Parcel, which you had made beforehand. And they played games like Musical Chairs and Musical Bumps and all that sort of stuff.
We did a few party pieces in my day, Katrina.
Party pieces, and their friends were horrified, even back in those days, because they had never been asked to sing or dance or do anything ever before. And that is what we did. As they got a little bit older, and I'm talking only about a little bit, maybe 6 or 7, we lived quite near to a big park. And we would walk, when they all arrived, we would walk the kids round to the park, and they played rounders, or we divided them up into teams. In the summertime, we would have told the parents beforehand, please don't wear party dresses or whatever. We will be playing rough and tumble games. And we played mini Olympics in inverted commas. And so we had a long jump, and we had a high jump, and we had a relay race and all that sort of stuff. And they came home filthy and exhausted. And
they had a great time.
And they had a great time. I remember when they got even older still, about an 11, 12 year old party. And we asked all the parents, whom I'm sure were thrilled skinny, to meet us at the foot of the Sugarloaf, which is a small climb here in County Wicklow. And we climbed the Sugarloaf, and then we begged and borrowed cars, and we drove them all home, and I gave them burgers and chips, and we had an ice cream cake. So we did that sort of stuff rather than going, you know, sort of going to different places.
How do you handle it then, Katrina, if, okay, so you're deciding we're going to go retro, we're going to do actually probably what the children want. They just want to spend time with their pals. They just want to have a good time, bit of food or whatever. But the other side of it is, because your child is going to birthday parties that are elaborate or over the top, that they're coming back saying, I want this, I want that, and such at the bouncy castle at their birthday party. How do you handle that with your child?
Okay, well, the first thing is have a conversation. But you have to keep in mind the age of the child and also their experience. If you ask your child straight out, what would you like to do for your birthday party? They are going to draw, first of all, on their experience of birthday parties, and secondly, from their imagination. So if all they have ever experienced is going to the local leisureplex, or, you know, going to a place where a bouncing castle was hard, etc., etc., that is what they are more than likely going to ask for. Or else they're going to say, oh, I'd love to go on a rocket to the moon, or I'd, you know, that, etc. So maybe you give them a limited choice and a steer, and you say something like, I know how much you love football. I was wondering, would you like, you know, we could go to the local park or something or other, and would you like to have a game of football with your friends? Or something or other like that. Something that you know you can do and you can take on. Of course, one of the things that has happened so much in the last 15 years or so is we have become very time impoverished because so many children, both parents, have to work outside the home. And so,
there's a temptation to just throw money at the thing, really.
There is. And, you know, when you think about it, that's actually, you know, this is perpetuating the catch-22 scenario where you go out to work to earn money, to keep up with your expenses, which causes you not to have time. So which means you have to spend more money on doing things because you don't have time to do them yourselves, etc. But, you know, it doesn't have to be as complicated as we make it. I think it's a very reasonable thing to invite little ones to your home. And I think it's good because you get to know the little ones. They get to know you. They get to know your dog. They get to know, and it builds friendships. And it is good if you have an ability to do something like that, to do it. Just to wind up, to talk about having a birthday party at home with your own family. Some of the things we did was we had a special chair. We did it up with balloons and all that sort of stuff. That was the throne. The birthday person sat in it. And something I've been asked to mention, because every time I mention it, I'm always asked about it, is honouring the birthday person. So that everybody in the family, this would just be your family now, honours the birthday person and says something that they really like about that person. That can be challenging for siblings, especially if they've had a fight with them that day. But I just think it's a lovely thing to do, and because it makes the child think of someone else rather than themselves. And it's very edifying and encouraging for the birthday person.
Great ideas. As always, Katrina Lynch, our parenting expert, is with us every Thursday morning just after 10 o'clock. Well, there's been a very interesting recent survey of Irish university students. And what the survey was asking was, on what do you base your ideas on God? And it's very interesting, the results, in terms of how people actually go about it. What would you think they are? Do you think it's from maybe how faith is passed down to them? Do you think it's maybe through them doing their own research? Well, we're going to be talking about that next. Well, the survey was of 600 students, so considerable sample size from universities in Dublin, Cork, Galway and Limerick. And it was carried out by Agape Ireland. And in studio to tell us more, we have David Wilson, the National Director of Agape Ireland. David, good morning to you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Well, before we get into the nitty gritty of the survey, tell us a little bit about Agape and the work that you do.
Well, Agape has an aim to help fulfill Christ's commission to disciple the nations. And we've got a nation here, so what are we going to do with it? So we are worldwide, we are in more countries than McDonald's. But the important thing is just the person-to-person contact with people in the business of discipling this nation, which we're happy to do with whoever will cooperate with.
So when you say discipling, what does that mean? A lot of people mightn't understand that phrase.
In practice, it means befriending people until they will... You produce a little bridge between you and them so that they will take from you and you will take from them whatever messages. And we want to bring the gospel of Jesus in its most accessible, simple form to students. One of the things that the survey showed was that people could have a tremendous religious background, you know, a church background. 80% of the people, of the students, said, I have a church background, which could be Catholic, Church of Ireland, Baptist, some others as well. So over 80%. But when we ask them, where do you go for information about God, your source of information about God, the religious institutions together was 11%. So when students want to know about God, the highest number is 27% do their own independent research.
So what does that mean? Googling, chatting to people?
Dear knows what it means. One of the things we found out in the survey is that the students are free as a breeze to believe whatever they like and totally open to new ideas. So in previous surveys, you know, we would ask people, and did this time, what do you think about Jesus? A few people would say he was the Son of God or something else. But this time, it was just a whole lot more diverse, including...
Was there something about it that particularly struck you, David?
Yeah, the diversity of opinion and people also setting themselves up. Like one student said that he thought Jesus was slightly delusional, but well-meaning. You know, it's just that...
And you wonder where that comes from, that idea.
Yeah. He seemed to think that he should could have set himself up. And another person, you know, asked a question about God, and he says God is a little bit divisive. So he's got his own moral standard that he's making up out of his own head as to what's, you know, whether God is good or not, which is a kind of a daft idea since God defines good. But there you go. So it's a matter of doing, frankly, doing what we need to do to get up close and personal with students. Our overall aim is that no student at an Irish university should be able to graduate without hearing how to follow Christ.
And how do we do that is the next question. But what I thought was interesting in this study was the question that you asked, if it were possible, would you want to know God in a personal way? What was the response?
The response was 68%.
So the majority. So here we have a situation where, on the one hand, with the examples you've given, David, there's a lot of misinformation about who is God, who is Jesus, but then a desire to want to know him. So there's a gap there between those two things.
There is. And that number of 60%, over 60, has sustained over the last couple of decades that we've done these surveys. We've always asked that question. But I think there is a difference now. The number is still above 60%, but people's idea of God from the rest of the survey we know is a lot more made up by themselves, and sometimes it's what they heard in their upbringing, but more often it's what they have done in their so-called independent research. And students are going out looking for, and one of the things you see in the survey, they're looking for a road to travel on in life. They want to change the world. I want to change the world. But they need a sustainable, substantial thinking message with which to do that.
One of the things that's very encouraging about this piece of research, and it's actually similar to, I think it was called the Finding Faith in Ireland survey, an all-Ireland piece of research. And what's similar in both pieces of research, David, is this, is that young people particularly, they are actually open to faith. So it's not like people might actually wrongly think that young people aren't interested or they're even hostile towards the Christian message, but they're not. These pieces of research are showing actually they are hungry for it. So our challenge is, well, what do we do with that? And how do we actually fulfill that need in a way that's meaningful?
Yes, I think it's arrogant to say about students, oh, they're all wasters. You know, they're all just using my money. Students think, in fact, the big apologetic questions are asked by students before they ever get to university. They're asked, what was asked years ago at a university is now being asked when people are 13, 14, 15. I met a student a couple of weeks ago who has just finished 4 years philosophy. He went in there as an atheist. He had atheist mentors and lecturers while he was there. But he was thinking all the time. One of the things he'd studied was the medieval concept of God. And at the end of his time, through mixing it with other Christian students, he trusted Christ and has now decided in a very public way to follow Christ. After 4 years of philosophy, which he went into as an atheist and came out as a Christian. So I'm just saying, students think, and they deserve to be treated seriously.
So with this piece of research, what are you going to do with it then? What's the next steps?
Well, one of the things we're looking for is anyone who wants to have an internship in a field kind of ministry, we'd be very happy to take on. All they have to do is send me a note to office@agape.ie. And we treat interns seriously. We give them all the best training we can in a one-year period. So if they don't stay with us, they go off to do whatever. They'll be spiritually armed to the teeth. So they don't do just coffee and photocopying. You know, they do the whole bit of learning how to befriend students, how to get into their lives. Sometimes it means staying up to 2 o'clock in the morning. That's the way it is. So the team is going off tomorrow to La Hinch to surf all weekend. So you have to do some surfing. Not everybody surfs. Some stand on a surfboard and get strategically photographed with the sea in the background. So all those things.
But, so you're looking for internships and other kind of part-time volunteer roles for people who are probably encouraged by this research, but the next part of when you're encouraged is, okay, let's do something about it.
Yeah, and we know that there are students, Christian students out there, who would love to be trained in how to share their faith. Like, if I had a packet of biscuits here, I could share them with you. You know, they belong to me, but I'd share them with you. But people who will then take ownership of the faith that they have and learn literally how to pass that on to somebody else in an acceptable way. And we know that I was one. I was a microbiology student in Trinity and I had fire in my bones like many students do today. But I just needed somebody to take me by the hand and just help me to get a bit more accessible in my faith sharing.
If you could give one piece of advice then on that, David, you know, for people who are like that. And I remember when I first was coming back into faith and my brother saying to me, now, Wendy, you're going to be on fire. You're so excited. You want to tell everybody about it. Yeah. You're going to wreck their heads if you do it in that particular way. And you'll turn them off. Of course, I didn't listen and made a lot of mistakes in kind of being almost overzealous or just approaching people in the wrong way. So there's oftentimes people are very well-meaning. If you could give one piece of advice of today of something people could think about in terms of just reaching out and sharing their faith, what would it be?
Well, first of all, we do make mistakes. There isn't enough time in this interview to explain all our mistakes. But I would say, here's my advice. What you see in the Bible as boldness and preaching, I think is reproduced today in a student who is passionate, for his life with Christ and what that means and the change it makes in his life, in his behavior, etc. So passion for life, there you go. That is what students notice. You don't need to be loud, but if you are genuine, authentically passionate, students will see that at 50 paces.
So you just kind of have to be a witness, really, and live your life even without having to
You need to learn to articulate that. If you can't articulate it, then people don't see the point of it all. You were asking what we're going to do. Another thing we need to beef up our back office operations, so to speak. So anybody who has spare time in accounting or admin, again, just shoot me an email, office@agape.ie.
Fantastic.
We'll certainly get you things to do.
Well, very interesting survey results. I personally think very encouraging in relation to Irish students and that they are open. It's our job to try and build that bridge and be that bridge between their openness and, as the survey shows, wanting to know God in a personal way.
Yeah, what's not to love? You know, I'm not a pessimist at all in this business.
David Wilson, thank you so much for joining us on the programme this morning. And as David said, he's the National Director of Agape Ireland. If you want to get in touch with him, you might be interested in doing an internship, you might be able to volunteer some of your time and skills. You can get in touch, office@agape.ie. Well, it's now time for our weekly Life in 5 interview. What's it all about? Well, we just get ordinary people who've had extraordinary lives through their faith in God, and they just talk about their life and themselves, and they just pick 5 questions from a list. It's that simple. And in studio, as our Life in 5 guest today, I have Nana Newby. Nana, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, tell us about yourself.
So my name is Nana Newby. I'm originally from Nigeria, and I've lived in Ireland 17 years in Dublin. And I have a family. My parents are here with my siblings. And also I'm married to Nubi K. And we have a baby called Kike Nubi, and she's 9 months old.
So a newborn still.
Yes.
Still a very new baby.
Very much a baby. And yes, I have a legal background. I studied law in UCD and Trinity. And I'm currently doing my barrister law degree in the King's Inns.
Wow, that must be tough with sleepless nights that are happening with the 9 month old baby.
It is a lot to juggle, so, but yeah, it has to be done.
I'm sure I can already, you've got, after 17 years, you've got the Irish accent creeping in now at this stage, Nana.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're going to go straight into your questions then. Question number one for you is, where do you see God in everyday life?
Yeah, so like I mentioned there, I have a baby, and seeing her growth has definitely been how I've seen God's creativity. From understanding that from the first time that she discovered her hands, even when she raised them to her face, and she then realized that she could control it and she would move it from side to side.
Looking at these things like, these are mine. Wow.
Exactly. And just seeing that and seeing her learn to sit down and learn to move and learning to smile and even learning to laugh and seeing her practice her laugh by herself sometimes. And just seeing that development of a human being and seeing God's beautiful work, that's for me, I see God in everyday life, in her growth.
And just the wonder and awe of life and the beauty of innocence as well.
Yes.
Of everything being new. Have Absolutely. You found being a mum?
It's been the most amazing experience I've ever had. Also very challenging, because it's not like anything. You're basically on call 24/7.
No one can really prepare you, can they?
No, they really can't. And even though they say say goodbye to sleep, you don't realize you literally don't sleep. But thankfully, she's older now, so she does sleep a lot better now. But it's been hard. But I'm very grateful. I have a very strong family unit around me. So my mum, my siblings, my dad, they're very helpful. My husband is very hands on. He works from home from time to time as well. So his work is flexible and he's very hands-on. And I've been very blessed with lots of help. And Kike is also amazing. She's a really happy baby. So she's easy. She makes it easy.
I think a lot of mums can identify with what you're saying, myself included. Your second question then, Nana, is have you ever seen a miracle?
I have. So growing up, my father was a Muslim. And after a few years of marriage, my family, we used to always pray for him. You know, my mom and my siblings and I would always pray every night. We'd do our, you know, nightly prayers and always pray, oh God, please let daddy become a Christian. And eventually he actually did receive Jesus and he became saved. He accepted that Jesus was, you know, the way to follow. And for me, that was a miracle, seeing that salvation. And that is the biggest miracle I've experienced in my life, my dad's salvation.
Where your prayers were answered.
Yes.
What about a testing time in your life, Nana?
Yes. Yeah, so like I mentioned, I have an undergrad in law. So when I went to UCD to study law, and it was very challenging because it was quite a difficult subject. And I found I was struggling a lot with my grades. But then, thankfully, thanks to God, I was able to persevere and endure. It was very difficult to try not to fail, but thankfully I was able to get through it, and it was very challenging. I very much questioned, and I was like, I'm a Christian, you know, and things are meant to be easier.
And then you realize it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it doesn't. Sometimes it's harder, but I'm just very grateful that I was able to actually, you know, pass and
How did God help you in that time in terms of just being able to persevere, especially when I mean, I've been there and many people have been there where you are just trying so hard and things aren't working out the way that you imagine. And it's hard to kind of stay focused and to stay committed. How did you do that?
So the Christian Union in UCD was very helpful to me. I'm not sure if they actually know this. Christian Union was like every Wednesday. So it was almost like, have you heard of hump day? So it was almost
Wednesday is the hump day. Yes. Trying to get to the weekend.
Trying to get through the weekend. So after like, you know, the tough Monday and Tuesday, at least I would go into Christian Union on Wednesday and get refreshed and be able to recalibrate. And it really helped me through that really tough year. And just, again, hearing that word and being surrounded by Christians and understanding that, yes, things are tough. University is tough. But, you know, we still have God in this university and, you know, he's there to help us through it. So the Christian Union really got me through those tough years in UCD.
It's
and I'm very
to
grateful
hear.
To
yeah.
them.
Just that sense of community and just, I love that, having a bit of an injection of faith on the hump day, which is Wednesday for most people.
Yes.
A favourite piece of music and why?
My favourite piece of music, can I say two?
Of course.
Yes.
We'll allow that.
Okay. So my favourite artist is Adekunle Gold. He's a Nigerian artist, and I love all of his music. And then my favorite piece of music is Travis Green's "Be Still and Know That I Am God," and I'm not certain if you guys know that song, but it's basically as it says in the thing: "Be still, I know that I am God. I'm in control. I know." So that song has really gotten me through tough times, especially like being a mom, where I'm just thinking, how will I get through being a mom and working and going to college? And I would always play that song just to remind myself that he's in control. And so Travis Green, "Be Still and Know I Am God."
It's brilliant when you can have a song like that, that you can, you just know if you listen to it, it'll just help kind of
recenter
you. Or I like the word you used earlier, recalibrate you for the week. Yes. Nana, what makes you happy? That's your fifth and final question today.
What makes me happy is, first, family. I love spending time with my husband and my daughter and also my siblings. Just the banter. I really love that. And secondly, cake. I genuinely love cake. Cake lights up my day. When I was in my exam, my husband bought a large cake and said I could have a piece every day after exam. And during the exam, I would look forward to going back home.
So what is your favorite type, more importantly?
Chocolate cake from Manon's is my favorite cake.
Your husband knows how to make you happy then.
Yes, that's, he does. That's why I married him.
That's where to go. And it's true. Just spending time with family. And I love the way you say the banter.
Yes.
You've obviously adopted a bit of the Irish sense of humor at this
stage. I'm very much Irish at this point. I'm Nigerian Irish.
And do you get to go home much to Nigeria?
In the last few years, I wouldn't say much, but I've been back 3 years over 17 years. But that's happened in the last 5 years. So recently I have been able to go back more often.
And Ireland feels like your home.
Ireland is my home. home is where your heart, is, where family is. My family is here, so Ireland is definitely my home. And we plan to, you know, integrate into the community and contribute to the society and economy as best as we possibly can, because Ireland has given me the opportunity to be who I am today.
Well, I'm delighted that you are happy here in Ireland. And thank you, Nana, for just sharing with us a little bit about you and your life.
Thank you for having me.
And a little bit about your gorgeous little girl. I'm sure I'll be looking at pictures now once we go off the air. It's been great to have you with us on Spirit Radio this morning. And our Life in 5 slot is every Thursday just after 11 o'clock. Well, I've got a very full studio, which I always love, and my next guests are involved with a group of people who describe themselves as women intercessors for the church and the nations. What does that mean? It means women who try to pray for people, for things, for the world. It's a pretty important part of our faith, but what's it all about? And if that kind of seems something that you haven't been involved in before, you'd like to know more about, well, what we're chatting about next will certainly help you understand it more, because there's an event on called Wailing Women, and they're holding their National Prayer Day on the 31st of October. And before, they're going to have training for intercessors called History Makers Training from the 29th through to the 31st. And in studio to tell us more about both of these things, we have Priscilla Azuenza and Kate Nwana and Urena Nwana. So thank you all for coming into studio today. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Wendy.
Okay, morning. I use that word there, an intercessor, and that's what you say, intercessors for Church of the Nations. But let's bring it back. What is an intercessor in the first place?
Intercessor, it's kind of an advocate, a person who stands in the gap to speak on behalf of somebody, to plead on behalf of somebody. And intercessors, women, interceding women, we stand in the gap for the nation and the church and all the people. As we know, the Bible says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 2, God said, "When I came, I found no one, and your sins have stopped me from doing what I can." But as intercessors, we stand in the gap and we cry out to God and say, "We have sinned, and have mercy for our nations, have mercy for the church, have mercy on our families, so that God can heal our land and help us, you know, to do things and solve issues in our lives."
What sort of a difference have you seen this type of prayer make in people's lives and in your own life?
In fact, as Christians, if we look at our individual lives even, we can see what the power of prayer can do, because there has been issues in our lives that seem so challenging. And when we commit it to God and He will come in, we will see things like miracle happening, things changing, going the way we never expected it to happen. So as a Christian, it is very important for us to relate our relationship with God through prayers, because through prayers, our problems can be solved. Like in our nation, Ireland, there was a time it seems as if things were turning upside down. We are in deep recession. People like Wailing Women and other Christian groups, we are calling on God, calling our Father in heaven to come and intervene in the affairs of this nation. We can see how things changed around. From recession, we can see where we are now. We are out of recession, and our economy is growing. Things are working out for us to the glory of God.
We have a mother-daughter combination with us in studio today. How important is it to be able to really pass on the faith to our children in this way?
It's very, very critical, because as we're aging, our generation will pass on and the new generation will come in. And even in the book of Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 17 to 20, where this call of wailing women, where God said, "Call me the wailing women, the skillful women, and they may cry unto God," when the land of Judah was in big trouble and they came and cried, God also instructed that the wailing women should also teach their daughters and their sons and their neighbors wailing and lamentation. And that's why we try to bring up our children in this ministry. We have the wailing sons and we have the wailing daughters, and we teach them how to stand in the gap, how to go into the presence of God with crying and wailing and intercession, crying out to God, and they'll follow through with us, so that when we are gone, they will also continue in the same way to see the need to intercede
for the nation and for the church.
So your daughter is here. You might share with us just a little bit of how your mom has taught you a little bit about this. What have you learned?
So what my mom has taught me and my brother, because I have a brother as well, she's taught us that we should be firm in our faith if we really believe it, and we should pray to God if we have any troubles, because sometimes people feel like, especially some people in my class feel like they have nobody to turn to, but I don't feel that way, because my mom has taught me that God is there, and now I believe that God is there. So every time you have something, like, if you don't feel good about something, or you have something to talk about that you need help with, you can always just ask God for help or for guidance or anything like that.
And you find that helps you?
Yeah, it really helps me, knowing that someone's there to help me.
And you can, like the people you mentioned in your class, you can pray for them too, right?
Yeah, I pray for them as well.
Yeah, it's really important as parents for us to be able to try and kind of share this with our children. In terms of just, I suppose, seeing prayers answered through your ministry, through the Wailing Women's Ministry, Priscilla, have you seen this happen much?
Yes, like I said earlier on, Ireland is a very good example. You know, at times we pray, you think God is not answering. God answers prayers at his own time. Like during the time of recession, it looks as if Ireland will never get out of recession. But now we can see where we are. You know, Ireland is one of the fast growing economy in the world. Again, going back to where we were before the recession. So people would want to understand what people were doing on the background, like the Wailing Women and other Christian intercessors were doing on the background when we were in that deep recession. Like now, our nation is equally going through a very critical period, because now we are thinking of this referendum about the blasphemy. You know, people on the background are praying, telling God that we don't want God to be deleted from our constitution, because we know that a nation without God is lost. A nation without God doesn't even exist, because the devil can toss them around and do whatever they want with it. So we are praying that God will keep himself in our nation and use this nation to his own glory. So like when people are praying like this, you want to understand that prayers are being answered. But I am telling you from my own personal life, testimonies I have, and the testimonies from other people that have sought the face of God in times of difficulty, God will always answer us and help us in times of need. So our God is a God that answers prayers, but we just have to let God do things the way he wants to do it.
In addition to what Priscilla have said, we can't really count, you know, the amount of prayers God has answered, you know, through the Wailing Women ministry, you know, both in the nation, like she has mentioned, reception specifically. This was actually at the time in 2011 when this call for Wailing Women started in Ireland, and God asked that women should come together and begin to cry out to God concerning the state of Ireland. Not only the recession, spiritually, if you look back between 2010 and 11, there was such a spiritual darkness in Ireland because of the, you know, revelation of the things that the clergy in the Catholic Church were doing. And people lost their faith in God. But we were in the background crying out to God to restore the faith of this nation. And we have seen that from 2010 till now, there has been a massive change in the spiritual state of the nation. People are becoming more aware and crying out to God. And people can, you know, openly express their faith, you know, concerning God. And that is so encouraging that even in this time, like my sister have said about, you know, the continuous, you know, fight about Christianity, you know, trying to erase God from Ireland, there are still some remnants that are standing. And we are encouraging people that it does not matter how many people that are standing. Just hold on to what we believe, because we know that God always answers prayers. And that's one of the reasons God, you know, led us to start this national prayer day for the nation on the 31st of every October. Like we know, the people celebrate, you know, Halloween. darkness. But God says that we shall arise because we are the light of the world, and we shall arise, and Christians, intercessors from different parts of Ireland, should stand together wherever they are, irrespective of their religious background, and cry out to the Lord. And we encourage as many people that are around us to come together to on the 31st of October from 2 p.m. To 8 p.m. in Maldron New Land Cross Hotel in Nesro, to join our faith together like we've always done. And we've seen massive testimonies. People's lives have been blessed. A lot of people have, you know, been healed when we cry out to God, you know, for them, and lives have been transformed. And to join that too, we have incorporated the History Makers training, you know, just to help people unleash understand their talents and the spiritual gifts the Lord has given to them, how they can use it in their physical, in their emotional, and in their financial life, you know, to transform life, to become what God has actually called them to be. And we call that History Makers.
Just finally to finish up, and obviously you've been touching on a little bit there, Priscilla, you might just briefly give us all the details of the event taking place at the end of October.
Our program is happening in Maldron Hotel, Nolan Cross, Dublin 22. It's starting on the 29th of this month, October. We have an intensive training that is coming on, that is called the History Makers Training. And this training is to help us as Christians to realize our worth in the Lord, and to help us to reach our potentials. So the time of the program is on the 29th of October to the 31st of October, from 8 a.m. to 9:30 every day. Then on the 31st, we are finishing the History Makers training by 12 noon. And after that, by 2 o'clock, the National Prayer Day will kick in. And like my sister have said, we are inviting every spirit-focused Christian to come and join us. Let us call our God, who is able to answer prayers, to come and intervene in the affairs of this nation, Ireland, to his own glory.
Well, thank you all for joining us this morning on Spirit Radio. My thanks to Priscilla and Kate and Urena, who've been with us in studio this morning. And you can get all the details of the conference that they mentioned on wailingwomen-ireland.com.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.